Development, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. It is written, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of the unbelieving. It is written, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the exceeding greatness of the power may be of God, and not from ourselves. It is written, knowing that he that raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also with Jesus, and shall present us with you.
For God is just a prayer away.
Wherefore, we faint not, for though our outward man is decaying, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is for the moment, worketh for us more and more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Declare ye sages, if ye find, amongst animals of every kind, of each condition, sort, and size, from whales and elephants to flies, a creature that mistakes his plan and errs so constantly as man. Each kind pursues its proper good and seeks enjoyment, rest, and food, as nature points and never errs in what it chooses or prefers. Man only blunders, though possessed of reason far above the rest. Descend to instances and try. An ox will not attempt to fly, or leave his pasture in the wood, with fishes to explore the flood. Man only acts of every creature in opposition to his nature. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to this message entitled The God of This World from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Ladies and gentlemen, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving. So said the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. So there are two gods, the God of creation and the God of this world. One God is spelled with a big G, and the other God is spelled with a very little g. The little g God is a God only because people have made him so. That little g worldly God is the devil, called the old serpent and Satan. More people than you might think worship this little g God, and that all the worshipers are identified by what is called the Church of Satan. You will find his worshipers in all churches and in no churches. He is called the God of this world. Atheists worship him. Evolutionists worship him. You will find him in most every family, behind every tree and every bush. And that is why he is called the God of this world. Paul tells us in this chapter that the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving. The gospel is hidden by the God of this world. Where could the devil hide the gospel? Well, a person who is physically blind cannot see the light. A person who is spiritually blind cannot see the glorious light of the gospel. When Paul tells us to stand against the wiles of the devil, he refers to him as the ruler of this world's darkness. When they came to arrest Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, he told them, this is your hour and the power of darkness. The devil is the prince of darkness. On the day of judgment, Jesus tells of those who shall be cast into the outer darkness. One thing about hell is the fact that it is a place of darkness. The devil aims to keep you in the dark, about the terms of pardon if he can, until you can spend eternity with him in the outer darkness of hell. For example, the Lord said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not shall be damned." I showed that verse to a man one time. He read it and said, "I don't see it." You see, the god of this world, the prince of darkness, had blinded his mind. The light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness apprehended it not. There are fish in Mammoth Cave that do not have eyes. They have lived so long in the dark that the Lord not only took away their sight, but he took away their eyes as well. The god of this world has kept some people in the dark so long that they no longer have any spiritual perception. Very early in the Bible, we learn that the Spirit of God shall not always strive with men. Now, verse 6 reminds us that it was God who in the beginning said, "Let light be," and there was light. Paul's implication is that there is a greater spiritual darkness today. Every week when the message is heard on the God is Just a Prayer Away broadcast, the message comes through loud and clear, "Let there be light." In Colossians, Paul tells us, "God hath delivered us out of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love." That darkness has been illuminated in the believer's life by that light that shone out of darkness and shined in our hearts to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. One way the devil, who is the god of this world, has blinded the eyes of them that perish is by deceitful preaching. Paul says in the second verse, "We walked not in craftiness, nor handled the word of God deceitfully." The gospel is veiled in them that perish. How does the devil hide the gospel? By craftiness. Much preaching is contrived to hide the gospel. The actual facts of the gospel, namely the death, burial, and resurrection, are presented. Then the response to the gospel is hidden. We must not tell all the terms of pardon given by the apostles. The prophet Isaiah informs us that the people of his day were like modern-day churchgoers. Listen to Isaiah as he tells what they told the prophets then. "Prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things." Prophesy, deceit. There are many that preach the gospel according to that with craftiness and deceit. I heard an evangelist tell the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. He told the story of how Philip preached to him. He spoke in moving terms about the crucifixion of the Lord and then the resurrection of the Lord. He mentioned how the Ethiopian wanted to be baptized. "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Then the confession was mentioned, and he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Then he said the eunuch was baptized. At this point, the evangelist said to the audience that when it came to baptism, he did not know what method was used or how it was done. Remember, the account says they went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him, and they came up out of the water. But the evangelist said he did not know how the eunuch was baptized. He told them, "If you really want to know how he was baptized, the thing for you to do is to ask your preacher." What did he think the preacher would be able to tell anyone that he could not have told them? That is a good example of what Paul called crafty and deceitful preaching. the god of this world had persuaded him to play to the crowd. Give them what they want. Shades of Isaiah. Speak to me smooth things. Prophesy deceit. Listen to the way Paul said it again. If our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that perish, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of the unbelieving. And remember, Jesus said, if the blind guide the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Preachers have been blinded by the god of this world, since in many congregations the blind are leading the blind. What a blessing it would be to the congregation if the preacher would have the honesty to go into the pulpit with a seeing-eye dog and a white cane with a red tip. Then sincere seekers of truth might catch on in their church that perhaps the blind are leading the blind. Another method the god of this world uses to blind them that perish is to blind them to the real glory of Christ. Think of the glory of God in the face of Jesus in the virgin birth, as he was born in a manger. Now, in the eyes of the world, his glory would have been enhanced if he had appeared full grown with the sound of trumpets, accompanied by angels, and if he had made his headquarters in a palace. But you see, the glory of God did not need the trappings of men's ideas of glory. The fact that God was encased in the body of an infant is glory enough that shines by itself. Think of the glory of the knowledge of Jesus as a boy of 12. He confounded at that time the best minds of Israel with his questions and his answers. At this point, we can say with Paul, where is the scribe? Where is the wise? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath God not made foolish the wisdom of this world? The world through its wisdom knew not God. Ladies and gentlemen, the combined wisdom of the greatest minds of the ages could never have figured out the plan of salvation and the combination of the locks on the pearly gates. Only the Scripture can tell us that. Then think of his glory compared to Moses. Moses stood in the cleft of the rock and saw the departing glory of the Lord. And when he came down from the mountain, the people were so overwhelmed by his glory that shone in his face that he had to wear a veil. Jesus was transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration. His face did shine as the sun. The fashion of his countenance was altered. And when he came down from the mountain, the people ran to him and were amazed. They were not afraid of him. Think also of the glory of Christ in the preaching of the gospel. Paul tells us in the 7th verse that we have this treasure in an earthen vessel. Think of that. The greatest treasure the world has ever known, and it is given to the world in an earthen vessel. Men with hands of clay and feet of clay carry the treasure of the gospel around the world and preach it to lost sinners with tongues of clay. The gospel story is the treasure in an earthen vessel, the earthen vessel of the human being. It would sound better if the Lord had compared us to a gold vessel or a silver vessel or even a copper vessel. The gospel treasure in a clay pot. Almighty God has entrusted the delivery of the greatest treasury into the hands of men with hands of clay and feet of clay to take to a hell-bound world. Think of it. The original autograph copy of the Book of Romans was sent to the Church of Christ at Rome, not by armored truck with armed guards, but in the pocket of a woman named Phoebe. What a treasure to be entrusted into the hands of a vessel of clay. What a tremendous responsibility there is in the preaching of the gospel. I can visualize it now. The congregation has assembled. They look up into the pulpit. They see the earthen vessel preacher wait anxiously for what he will pour forth. Will it be what Peter called the sincere milk of the word? Many times all that is poured forth is sour milk that is curdled with the insipid invitation, all you need to do is ask Jesus to come into your heart. This treasure of the gospel in the earthen vessel reminds us of Gideon in the Old Testament and his 300 in their victory over the Midianites. Late at night, the 300 on three sides above their enemy held a vase in one hand and a trumpet in the other. Inside the vase was a burning lamp. The signal was given. 300 trumpets sounded in the night. The vases were cast down and broken, and the mountain was ablaze with light. As an earthen vessel, the fragile gospel preacher may also break at any time, but the light continues to light the way to victory. People in the world would be more easily persuaded if the gospel could be preached by angels than when delivered in a preacher made of clay. Such a treasure is worthy of a greater demonstration of God's power. Think of it. I preach a message that tells you the plan of salvation and how to go to heaven. This is a message that tells you how you can live forever. Such a message as this deserves a majestic preacher, a seraph, an archangel no less. Angels, however, are not allowed to preach the gospel in the New Testament. Sometimes they direct the preacher to an audience, but they are not allowed to preach the gospel and tell the sinners what to do to be saved. The earthen vessel, the clay preacher, is given the honor of preaching the message that has been denied even to angels. The real gospel today is looked down upon by the world. It is not grand enough. It is not glorious enough. It is not sophisticated enough. Perhaps the gospel story should be reserved in its proclamation to the super sports stars. People might be convinced if only those who bat 350 could preach the word. God wants his message to be presented in such a way that men can marvel at the message of God and not at the celebrity who, for a price, may endorse a coffee he never drinks or a cereal he never eats. Paul gives us the real reason for using the earthen vessel, the vessel of clay, when he tells us in verse 7 that the exceeding greatness of the power of God may be of God. Anyone can see that it is a great message if an angel brought it. But when it is brought to you by an earthen vessel like a preacher, there is no one to give the glory to but Almighty God. We may have the treasure in an earthen vessel. You may be a clay vessel. You may crack at any time, but the light will shine. We are on the winning side. Verse 14 reminds us that he that raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also. The God of this world hath blinded many to the glory of Christ. The God of this world also hides the gospel when he blinds the minds of people, the lost, to the unseen world. Paul reminds us from verses 16 through 18 of the outward man and the inward man. You are an outward man, and that man decays every day, but the inward man is renewed day by day. You may be an earthen vessel. You may crack at any time. Your health may break, but the inward man is renewed day by day. Then Paul reminds us that our light affliction, which is for a moment, worketh an exceeding weight of eternal glory. Our afflictions here are light. A letter received recently from Africa tells of a preacher named Timothy. I was told that he was warned not to preach the gospel. He preached anyway, and then because of his disobedience, they cut out his tongue. That did not stop him. He continued to witness in whatever way he could. Then they tortured him until he died. Paul, who had great sufferings also, called this a very light affliction. He says it is light, for it lasts only for a moment, compared to the weight of glory that follows the life who is faithful for eternity. Ladies and gentlemen, Paul continues, reminding us that the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. But for now, every day we rot a little. Every birthday reminds us that we are gradually sinking into the grave. The God of this world has blinded many to the existence of the inward man who is renewed through Christ every day. The inward man is not getting older. He is renewed every day. The outer man rots a little every day. I'm talking right now to a very rotten bunch of people. If you don't believe it, just look at your pimples. Look at your eyeglasses. Look at your hearing aids. Look at your canes, your crutches, your wrinkles, your infirmities, your walkers. What a blessing it is today that medical science has made it possible to have a knee replacement or a hip replacement. I have several friends who have been blessed by these procedures. Walking was a painful experience on their natural knee or hip, and then after the artificial replacement, they were able to motivate freely. What a blessing this has been to them. I cannot help but wonder what would happen if people could get a head replacement. Some folk have trouble understanding some of the simplest statements in the Bible that we normal people take for granted. They understand perfectly in their areas, other areas, but in the spiritual realm, there's a glitch in their mind. Anything and everything goes. If I feel that it is right, it must be right. Their feelings will not work with disease. A person may have high blood pressure and not know it, yet feel good. A person may feel his answer is correct in mathematics, and it means nothing. The statement in Scripture should be a warning. There is a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The problem may be that the constant bombardment of faith-only music and preaching of religious television programs has damaged the cartilage between their brain and their skull. Getting rid of their deficient natural head and getting a new head replacement might be the answer. You may have thought that I was rude for saying you may need a head replacement, but Paul speaks of a head replacement when he tells the Corinthian church, I would have you know, brethren, that the head of every man is Christ. When a person becomes a Christian, his old head is replaced by the head of Christ. And then he understands the gospel clearly. You see, the God of this world has blinded all others to the inward man and his needs. Could it be that you need a head replacement so you can understand that you have an outer man and an inner man? In verse 18, Paul says, we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Many people cannot see the unseen. Those who see the unseen realize the importance of the Lord's Supper on the Lord's Day, for example. The God of this world has given cataracts to spiritual eyes of the masses, and they can't see a thing. The God of this world has not blinded those who see the unseen. There are many things that are unseen that really do exist. The unseen world may not be light years away. It may be closer than you think. If you were permitted to see the unseen world at this time, you might be able to see the forked tongues of demons and the leering eyes of fiends. The Christian could also see the angels who were sent forth to do service for the sake of them that shall inherit salvation. Truly, those who are for us are more than those who are against us. I suppose we could sum up this chapter with this couplet. For if your glorious gospel be hid, Satan is blinding the ones that are bid. We have this treasure in vessels of clay, and we are renewed in the heart day by day.
Ladies and
and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition, tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.